I would like to invite your attention for a very few moments today to the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And it's going to be kind of a long reading, but I do know that it's business meeting. It's going to take about as long to read it as the point I want to make to comment on it, okay? Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? We're speaking of Jesus here, and it says, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all of them who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.' So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?' And he said to them, 'You will surely say this proverb to me, Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.' Then he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath, in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I pray you bless your word tonight. Open our minds and our hearts to receive it, that we may apply it to our lives, and that it make a difference, Lord, in the hearts of each hearer. Lord, we love you and we thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in this text that we just read, Jesus is in his hometown, right? He's in the hometown where everybody knew who he is and who he was. People are familiar with this boy Jesus as he grew up. So he goes back and he visits in his hometown, and he goes to the synagogue, as was their tradition, and he stood up to read. And he read from Isaiah chapter 61. And all the people marveled at his words, until Jesus said in verse 23, "You'll surely say this proverb to me, Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we've heard you do in Capernaum, do also here in your country." All they wanted to do, or all they wanted from Jesus, is to do among them what he had done in other places. That was the request. Doesn't seem outrageous, does it? But Jesus makes a point, and he begins to explain, and he said, "Look, there were many widows in Elijah's day." And he was talking about Elijah, who was sent to the widow of Zarephath, and there was a famine in the land, and people were dying of starvation, and he found this widow lady gathering sticks. And after speaking to her, he asked her for a drink of water and a morsel of bread. And the lady said, "All I have is just a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. And I was about to make that for my son and myself. And we were going to eat it so we could die. And Elijah said, well, you make it for me. And God has said that the flour will never run out. To make a long story short, she made it for Elijah. And Elijah ate it. She goes back and she makes it for her and her son. And the flour barrel never ran out of flour. There were many lepers in the day of Elisha. And there was this one leper called Naaman. And he was the commander of the Syrian army, and he had developed leprosy. And so he was told about Elisha, and so he goes to meet Elisha, and Elisha sends word to Naaman, knowing that he's coming. He said, go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. And it kind of upset Naaman initially, but he come to his senses and he went and washed 7 times in the Jordan River. Ultimately, his leprosy was healed. And Jesus makes the point here. He says, look, in Elijah's day, there were many widows who were in need. Yet, God helped one. In Elisha's day, there were a lot of people who had been affected with the disease of leprosy. Yet, only Naaman was healed. God only chose 2 people to display His mighty power. And you know, when Jesus told them that, they got angry. I mean, they got bitter. Bitterly angry. So much so, and I love the way this reads, they lead Jesus out to the brow of the hill. They're going to cast Him off the cliff. And they wind up, Jesus walks right through the middle of them. And they can't lay a hand on Him. And as I read this, as I thought about this, the question come to my mind. What if you're not the one? What do you expect from Jesus? Just ask Him. What do you expect from Jesus? I know, we expect when we get in trouble, we cry out to Jesus and He delivers us, right? But what if you're not the one? What if you're not that widow? What if you're not Naaman? And what if you're suffering from sickness and you cry out to God, God, please heal me. And God doesn't heal you. You know, that happens. That happens. How are you going to respond? What if you're in financial distress and you cry out to God, and there are a lot of financial success stories where people were just in dire straits and they cry out to God and God does great things for them. And what if you're not that one? What if all you ever received from Jesus Christ was what you have right now? The knowledge of who He is. The Son of God. I mean, you take a look at these people. They were angry. Jesus didn't do for them what He did for everybody else, and it upset them. But I want to suggest to you tonight, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, that's enough.
Amen.
You know? Sometimes we look for the exciting and the outrageous and the awesome. And I'm not sitting here preaching to you that God's not going to answer your prayers. You're praying for something special. I'm not suggesting that He's not going to answer your prayers, that you quit praying. No, absolutely not. If anybody can change things, it's God. Okay? But I also encourage all of us to appreciate Jesus for who He is. The Son of God, who came to this earth, not because He had to, but because He loved you and me. And He came to this earth and He gave His life a sacrifice for our sins. I mean, let's face it. We're not worthy, right? But Jesus loved you so much. God the Father loved you so much that He sent His only Son to be the sacrifice for your sins, to die in your place so that you could have eternal life. Is that enough? The reason I've seen people pray and ask God for things, and God not answer that prayer the way they thought God should answer it. And they get angry. I'm mad at God, they say. God, I prayed and He didn't answer my prayer. Well, God always answers prayer, okay? The answer may have been no, but God answered your prayer. Sometimes it's yes, no, maybe, later. You know, there are a lot of different answers. But God always answers the prayer. But listen, if you have Jesus, you have all you need. Never come to that point where you think God did not treat me fairly. Because I want to tell you something. When you consider what God has already given, Jesus Christ being the ultimate sacrifice for you, that's enough. God's not a short order cook that you come to Him that we come to Him with our orders. Lord, I'll have a little healing. I'll have a little financial success or business success. And Lord, make everybody else right because they're getting on my nerves. And the folks at school are making fun of me. And we cry with all this long list. And we expect God just to step up and do. You know, what if you're not the one? What if you're not the widow? What if you're not Naaman? Can you still love Jesus because He is the Son of God who saved you? I want to tell you, it's not the sensational things that make Jesus who He is. Jesus is the Son of God. Would you stand?